sports leader.
It's time for Packers preview again. Talking about the Pack on KFAN. The Super Bowl, we're gonna win again. According to your host, David Sinekin, we'll win on the road. We'll win at home. We'll even win in
U.S. Bank Stadium.
Vikes fans can call it for You've Got the Balls. The Packers preview show.
It's time now for year 27 of Packer Preview, presented by Hudson Ford. Now, from the KFAN studios, here's the head cheese himself, Dave Sinekin.
Good morning, Packer fans. Rise and shine. It's the week 10 edition of Packer Preview on the Sports Leader and the home of the Vikings. The Fan Radio Network, iHeartRadio. Great to be with you on this Sunday morning. Yes, I said it. It is great to be with you. It's a Packer football Sunday. I'm heading to Lambeau after the show. Maybe I'm what this team needs. Maybe I am the magic formula. My appearance, my presence. Oh, who are we kidding? It's a lost cause, isn't it? We've been doing this show for 27 years. I don't know how many five-game losing streaks we've endured. I know for sure we can count them on one hand. I don't know that I would need more than one finger. Maybe two. I didn't do the homework on that, but it's obviously gotten really, really ugly, both on the field and off. 3-6. Sat here a week ago and said, okay, season on the line. You got to win in Detroit. Basically got to win the next three to try to salvage things. And, that didn't go so well. And now the schedule gets a whole lot tougher, although the Packers do return home today for the first time in a month. With the Dallas Cowboys coming to town, the game of the week by Fox. They've been touting it as the game of the year. And maybe a month ago, it kind of felt like that. It certainly doesn't feel like that now. And, of course, the big storyline is the return of Mike McCarthy for the first time coming in with another team back home to Lambeau Field. I hope and expect that Mike McCarthy will get a rousing ovation when they announce him before the game today. For one thing, I've read there's going to be a whole lot of Cowboy fans at the stadium today. They'll likely be cheering for him, but I hope Packer fans will too. I will as well. I hold no bad feelings for Mike McCarthy. I don't know how anybody could. His 13-year reign was, for the most part, spectacularly successful. That might be maybe a stronger adverb than I should use, but obviously brought a Super Bowl home to Lambeau, to Green Bay, to Titletown, and until the very end. Did a fantastic job as really an unknown hire when he was brought in. Remember, Sean Payton was interviewed and a couple of other coaches that we'd heard more about than Mike McCarthy. But it was a good run, and now he's leading the Dallas Cowboys, and they come to town with a 6-2 record, fresh off their bye, healthy, well-rested, and ready to come into Lambeau and just kick the pack while they are down. We'll talk a bit about what happened last week. I can't really recall a more frustrating 3 hours of football to watch, right? I mean, two red zone interceptions by Aaron Rodgers. We can go 10 years without seeing a red zone interception from Aaron Rodgers. We saw two of them. They were both his faults. I mean, they were both lousy throws. We could certainly talk about the play design, trying to hit David Bakhtiari for a touchdown. I'm just happy the guy's able to walk, and stand out there and block, and now we're asking him to catch a touchdown. And he was open. If Rodgers put some air under that ball, it's an easy touchdown. But it was just one of those days, right, where everything that could go wrong did. But ultimately, we talked all about the 32nd-ranked defense giving up 32 points a game, and Green Bay put 9 points on the board. And everything's a struggle offensively, right? Everything is hard right now. They get to the red zone, and things implode. They get to third or fourth down, and things seem to implode, and even just getting a playoff is tricky. And I know it frustrates most of you as it does me. Every single play, the play clock's at zero. Rodgers is stamping his feet and clapping his hands to get the ball, and now everything's rushed. And even that last play, the fourth down play where Sammy Watkins ran the wrong route and there was no chance, after a timeout, they come out and barely get the playoff. And everything just seems off offensively. And the good news is here comes the top three defense in football, led by the ferocious Micah Parsons, and a Cowboys team that just, smells that a Packer team that is in disarray right now. So it's a tricky matchup. You hope that Five straight losses back home, big spot. You'll get Green Bay's best, and I certainly hope we will get Green Bay's best. But the maybe even the worst part of coming out of that Lions game was just the ravished injuries that this team took from that game. And it's interesting. I don't know how much on social media you guys are, but there's been a groundswell over the last 48 hours. David Bakhtiari, Devondre Campbell, and a number of big-time players from other teams, too, just saying, NFL, it's time to get rid of this kind of fake grass. It's a multi-billion dollar enterprise. Let's, you know, put real grass in all the stadiums. Why, you know, if a soccer team comes to our stadium to play, we put real grass in for the game. So why can't we do that for the NFL? And that'll be interesting to see if that's something that gets moved toward as they look to the next big contract with the Players Association. I don't know if the Lions players have more injuries than others, or if maybe they're wearing better shoes for that surface. But players like DeAndre Swift always seem to be perennially injured. Amon St. Brown's been hurt. It's a problem. And, of course, last week, devastating injuries for the Pack. None more so than Rashad Gary, torn ACL, done for the year, and hopefully be ready somewhat close to next season. We know he's been the best defender for this team all season. He's a ascending star, one of the top pass rushers in football, and his season was lost on the Ford Field turf last week, as was Eric Stokes. No official announcement, but everybody is saying that Eric Stokes' season is done as well. Knee, ankle. It's kind of odd that we don't have a clear diagnosis yet. I'm not sure they know exactly yet, but Matt LaFleur basically announced this week that they are not counting on Eric Stokes for the rest of the season. And then, of course, maybe we should have known from the very first play last week, right? First play from scrimmage, Rodgers hits Romeo Doubs for 18 yards, 25-yard line, and immediately we're going, okay, all right, it's Detroit. We're going to score points today. We're going to put, you know, Rodgers is going to have a 300-yard day, as I thought he would, against the Lions like he always does. And then Doubs doesn't get up. And then the next thing we see, Doubs being carted into the locker room. And that should have been a sign more than any, right? It's going to be one of those days. Doubs is lost. They're saying high ankle sprain, 4 to 6 weeks. Tells me maybe you get him back after the bye, right? Week 14, misses these next four games. Maybe you get him back for the bye. So three key starters knocked out. The Packers still will not have Devondre Campbell today. They will also not have Shamar Jean-Charles. Both of those players remain out. Linebacker Chris Barnes out, or doubtful, but likely out with a concussion. So very, very thin at the linebacker spot, as the Packers are down three linebackers to start the game. Questionable today, David Bakhtiari and Amari Rodgers with a quad injury, stressing another spot, the wide receiver spot, which just is as thin and razor thin as thin can be. Meanwhile, the Cowboys, as I said, they're off a bye. They are healthy. The only player out for them, oddly enough, is Anthony Barr. Insert your Anthony Barr joke here. He will miss the game today. And Zeke Elliott, questionable, likely to play, but they've kind of realized that Tony Pollard's maybe a better weapon for them anyway. That's a timeshare. I think Ezekiel Elliott will play a little bit, but he is listed as questionable. And as you know, we got two games at Lambeau here in the next 4 days. So we've got Cowboys today. The Tennessee Titans come to town for Thursday night football. So by the time we sit down here next Sunday, we will know even more about what kind of hole this team is in. And next week's show might just be not only a Packer review of the first 10 games, but also maybe a Packer review of the 2022 season and what we expect for the final run of 6 or 7 games. And, you know, if and when Jordan Love should take over once the Packers are eliminated. And we'll talk about that next week. I don't really want to get into that today, but teaser, for my money, once the Packers are eliminated, Jordan Love should be the quarterback. And I don't care what number 12 thinks. You've got to see what you got from Jordan Love. We'll talk much more about that next week. A couple other roster things to talk about. With all those injuries, Green Bay tends to make some moves on Saturday to elevate guys from the practice squad. They did that today. I mentioned the linebackers are all banged up, so they elevated linebacker Ladarius Hamilton to the active roster. They also activated cornerback Corey Ballantyne. And kicker Ramiz Ahmed has also been put on the active roster today. I think they believe that Crosby will be okay to go, but he's dealing with a knee and a back, and they just want to make sure that nothing stiffens up and they're caught, you know, without a kicker today. My hunch is Crosby plays, but they're just being careful and making sure. So they'll have another kicker on the active roster today as well. Packers are the biggest underdogs at home that they've ever been with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. 4-point underdogs today. You can certainly understand why Green Bay now 5 straight losses, despite the fact that we've had great success against the Dallas Cowboys over the last 10, 12 years. We all remember the Dez Bryant non-catch. Maybe the greatest, one of the, for me, top 5 throws and catches of the Aaron Rodgers era was the Jared Cook catch late in the game a number of years ago. There have been some great moments and a great series that obviously dates back, you know, beyond the Ice Bowl, but the most famous game played between these two teams was the Ice Bowl in 1967. I'm happy as I'm going to Lambeau today that the weather will not be anything like that day in Green Bay, what, 50-some years ago. Overall, Packers lead the series against the Cowboys 20-17. They lead the series at home 11-5. And, you know, it's been a long time. It's their 5th different stadium now in 5 weeks. It's just been a long run. It's hard to believe that they haven't won a game since they left for London four weeks ago. Or 5 weeks ago. It's been just an unbelievably unexpected turn to this season, a season that we thought was maybe the final great shot at a Super Bowl in the NFC. And look, we know that the Packers are not the only team that has seen everything kind of go wrong this year. The Rams and the Buccaneers, even the 49ers, although I think they'll turn things around, have had very surprising starts to their season. Luckily for Tampa Bay, they're in a terrible division where at 4-5, they're basically in first place. We know that Minnesota has already wrapped up the NFC North before we even tore into our turkey for Thanksgiving, which is tough to take, but the Packers have just not played well on either side of the ball, made no major changes that we know at the trade deadline, have made no internal changes with coaches to shake things up. So they are what they are. And I have no idea what to expect today. And I'm really curious to get all your thoughts as we take calls coming up here in the next segment. I can see so many scenarios today. And Brett, I'm going to bring you in quick before we break. I can see, frankly, I can see Green Bay getting blown off the field today. I can see them just saying, let's win one for Mike. You know, I've read that some players that they've seen how emotional McCarthy's gotten this week talking about his return to Green Bay. I could see them just saying, let's kick them while they're down and just run us off the field. And I could see Green Bay surprising the world and winning. I don't, or anything in between. I have no feel for what we're going to see today. How about you?
I don't know if there's any signs of hope for them really to surprise. Besides, the only sign of hope of them surprising the world is the fact that you're going to be there at Lambeau Field. Other than that, I mean, really, we're searching with all the injuries that's going on.
Long-time listeners know that my record over the last 5 or 6 years at Lambeau is abysmal. It's terrible. I have seen more losses at Lambeau the last 5 years than you could imagine. I'm a terrible luck charm. So maybe in this weird year, my first appearance, I'm going to go back for the Viking game on January 1st.
Who's to say?
But it's I don't think I have a real impact on things today. That's my guess anyway.
No, and I just have a feeling that with CD and as far as I know, Dak's still healthy, is he not?
Dak is healthy. Yep.
So I just don't like the chances today. And after last week, it's over if they don't win. I mean, obviously, like, we still care and we're still on the bandwagon. I have to make that asterisk every time I talk about this. But after last week, it's going to take a lot to kind of convince people to give them that little bit of rope that they had. And have that little bit of, you know, maybe the magic's still there. At some point, we got to see a little bit of pixie dust before we start believing the magic's real again.
No doubt. The next 3 opponents have a 19-5 record. So that's what Green Bay has in front of them. And frankly, if you are still clinging to that little bit of hope, well, you're going to have to win. There's 4 games before the bye. You're going to have to win 3 of those 4 games to get to 6-7 at the bye. And if you're 6-7 at the bye, You see a path because, you know, maybe 9-8 gets you a wild card. And the last 4 games, 3 of them are at home. The only road game's Christmas Day at Miami. So if you can get to 6-7, you might convince yourself you got a shot. But winning 3 of the next 4 means Dallas, Tennessee at home, Philly, undefeated Philly on a Sunday night, Thanksgiving weekend, and then at Chicago, which, you know, we can laugh because we've owned the Bears and we know Aaron owns the Bears, but Justin Fields suddenly looks like he's figured things out, and Chicago might be ready to take 20 years of pain out on the Packers in about a month. So If you think Green Bay can win 3 out of 4, then you think there's a chance. It can start today. The Cowboys are in town. When we come back, we'll take a look at what they bring to the table, what the Packers have up against them today. And obviously, we will take your calls. It's a Packer Sunday. It's Packers and Cowboys. And we're back with Packer Preview right after these.
Well, I'm proud to be a Packer fan. The best football fans in all the land are Packer fans. And it's a Packer fan.
F-A-N, the fan.
Packer Preview brought to you by JTR Roofing and Hudson Ford.
Leaping in the laps, take a slap on the hat. It's a cheesehead, scream again, down with a T. Do the Lambo Leap. Do the Lambo Leap, ending up in a heap. Crushed by the weight, but the feeling great. The jumps start the Packers every time they score. But do the Lambo Leap.
For the record, I don't expect a whole lot of Lambo Leaps today. I'd love to see a couple. Is that asking for too many? A couple touchdowns today? Oh, man, what have we become? Packers, Cowboys, it's Packer Preview. We're getting you ready for a 3:25 kickoff today. Packers and Cowboys, your national game of the week with the number one Fox team. Those days are coming to an end where we get the number one Fox team. I get the feeling we're not going to see a whole lot of that the rest of the way. Packers and Cowboys, again, the Cowboys come to town. It's Dak Prescott's first road game of the season. He dealt with some injuries and missed a number of weeks there early in the season, but he is back. And as I said, the Cowboys off a bye, so they've had a couple weeks to get ready for this one. It's the third straight opponent that the Packers have faced off extra rest. It's just one of those quirks of the schedule. You know, you like to think these things work out right evenly for everybody, but first it was Washington off a Thursday night game, had about an extra few days. Of course, the Bills were off a bye, and now the Cowboys off of their bye, coming in at 6-2, and chasing the Eagles, who are still unbeaten, and we mentioned they're the Packers' opponents here on Thanksgiving weekend. The Cowboys' offense has been, I wouldn't say great, but it hums along pretty well with Dak and his favorite target, CeeDee Lamb, and we'll wonder whether Jair Alexander is tasked with following CeeDee Lamb around. He likes to play from the slot a bunch. That could be a concern now with Stokes out. Rasul Douglas will assume his more preferable spot on the outside. So with Jair and Rasul, Packers are still, I think, as good as anybody on the outside at corner. The question is, in the slot now, what do the Packers do? Is it Keyshawn Nixon getting the first slot? Is it Darnell Savage? There's been talk about, you know, Savage seems lost as a safety right now. He can't seem to tackle. He doesn't have any real instinct. He just doesn't look like a safety. So maybe he's better situated as a slot corner. They might give him a shot there. As you know, Green Bay did add safety Jonathan Abram off the waiver wire this week from the Las Vegas Raiders, who finally cut ties with the brash first-round pick of a number of years ago, who just never seemed to get it together. He talks a good game. If you watched Hard Knocks the year that the Raiders were featured, they really did feature Jonathan Abram quite a bit because the guy was very personable, very cocky, confident, sure of himself. He talks a good game, but he hasn't been able to transfer that to the playing field. And the former star at Mississippi State will be teamed up with former teammates Elton Jenkins and Kylan Hill from his college days. He's a free agent after the season because the Raiders did not pick up the fifth-year option on him. He was in the same draft as Darnell Savage. We'll see if he can resuscitate his career and get some run. At least he'll be a special teams guy early for Green Bay, but hoping that he can provide them a little spark at safety. So Dallas relies on CeeDee Lamb as their number one target. Michael Gallup is back after missing the first 6 or 7 weeks of the season. He's their number two. Noah Brown has been a capable third receiver and a fill-in for Gallup. And Dalton Schultz will be a problem for the Pack. He's a reliable tight end. Green Bay's been pretty good against tight ends this season, but that passing game's got plenty of options for Dak. And, of course, they'll be really featuring their two-headed running attack. They know that Green Bay has a very difficult time stopping the run. Tony Pollard is the future for Dallas at running back. And as I said, Ezekiel Elliott with the knee injury, likely to play. He's questionable and will probably, I could see it being like a 2 series for Pollard, 1 series for Zeke, something like that. Pack will need to try to stop that running game, make Dak try to beat them through the air and see if maybe they could take a ball away or two. But Packers defense without Gary, man, you lose your best pass rusher now. Preston Smith, rookie Kingsley Enagbare, who's shown some flashes, but we'll be counting on a little bit more. will get more of an opportunity for sure. Mentioned they elevated Ladarius Hamilton. Nalier has been activated the last week or so as well. We'll see if Green Bay can still get a pass rush. You can't just rely on Preston Smith. I just feel so bad for Rashawn Gary. What a great start to a season he had. A kid who just has gotten better every single year. And just you just hate to see that happen for him and obviously for the Packers defense as well. All right, let's see how you guys are feeling here on Week 10 with a 3-6 Packer team just floundering with five straight losses, trying to find something. And as I said, man, with you can't beat the Commanders and the Lions, and now here come the Cowboys and Titans and Eagles. Things are getting a whole lot tougher. We'll see if Green Bay's up to it. Let's start with our friend Dave checking in from Maple Grove. Good morning, sir. What's up, Dave? Dave's not ready. We'll put him on hold, and we'll bring in our buddy, old Southside guy. Good morning, sir.
Davey, good morning. Hey, listen, when I heard you're going to Lambeau, I think you look at your record there, I think it's worse than some of these replacement quarterbacks we had during the strike years.
It's been a bad run.
Davey, I wanted to talk about Rodgers' future, but you want to hold that off till next week, so that's fine. Listen, in regards to this year's team, it's going to be interesting to see who plays wide receiver today with all our injuries. It looks like Lazard and Torrey and Christian Watson. I wish the guy could just stay on the field, but every time he's hit, it seems that he's injured and he's out. And one thing, why don't we just try this? I like you, am so frustrated with Rodgers going to the line of scrimmage and waiting for that time clock to get down to a half a second left. I don't know if he's changing the plays at the line or what, but why not get up there and run a no-huddle offense and try that and maybe change some tempo and at least try something different. But, again, what I worry about Rodgers in this game with all the injuries and that, I hope he doesn't end up getting hurt. But, baby, have a good, safe trip to and from Lambeau, and go Pack, go.
Thanks, Southside. We'll talk to you next week. It's an interesting question about tempo because I know that the Packers have had some of their best success offensively this year when they have tried to work no huddle and up the tempo a bit. That's something you could do for 60 minutes, obviously, but it would be nice to see them try to shake things up and maybe even start the game up tempo and just try to punch Dallas in the mouth early if that's at all possible. You're right. They are stressed at wide receiver for sure. Randall Cobb said this week that if they hadn't put him on IR, he could have played today. He is fine. He's ready to go. He'd love to play, and they could certainly use him now that Amari Rodgers is questionable as well with a quad injury. So he should be good to go Thursday night for the Tennessee Titans, which is obviously he'll be a sight for sore eyes for sure. So today, yeah, it's Alan Lazard, it's Christian Watson, it's Samari Toure. They have not elevated Juwan Winfrey. Well, Winfrey from the practice squad, which I find somewhat perplexing. I understand that if they do now, they've already done it three times. So if they do it now, he's got to stay on the 53 for the rest of the year. And I'm just thinking, well, fine. I mean, who else is going to play receiver? They just must not like his potential and not think that he's a part of the future. So I don't know who else will be active at receiver. I think the good news is that, you know, Christian Watson got held out of the game and it was early, at least quickly reported that he had suffered another concussion coming off the one the previous game. And like you guys, when you heard that, I just thought the worst. Like, there's nothing worse for a young player than to get back-to-back concussions. I mean, that's just dangerous. We saw it with Tua not that long ago, and he has bounced back, thankfully, but you just always worry about that next hit. And we know Christian Watson's had quite a rookie season from the very first play at U.S. Bank Stadium when he had a 78-yard touchdown in his hands and dropped it to then just getting hurt. And, you know, he had been hurt in training camp, so he lost much of the preseason, and then it was the concussion last week. And so when it was announced that he had another concussion, my immediate thought was, well, they're shutting him down. I mean, what's the point? At this point, make sure the young man's okay. Turns out, as Matt LaFleur announced earlier this week, that he did not have a concussion, that the doctors just wanted to be precautionary, that, you know, he took a hard hit, and they wanted to be sure he was okay. And so, you know, it's nice to hear that, you know, player's health, number one, and that's always got to be the case. So he's good to go. And, you know, we can take bets whether he'll finish the game. I'd love to see it. maybe with an opportunity now with Dobbs gone, that here's a chance for him to finally kind of spread his wings a little bit. It's not going to be easy, and we'll talk about it next segment about Dallas's defense against the Pack's offense. But for today, anyway, I don't know who else plays wide receiver beyond Lazard, Watson, and Toure. That's your depth chart, I think, unless I'm forgetting anybody. I mean, Amari Rodgers, he's questionable. So if he's active, and we'll get about 2 o'clock or so, we'll see who's inactive for the Pack. If Rodgers is active, then he'll be a guy that can run out there too, but certainly has not been a player that Green Bay has at all been confident in at playing wide receiver. So just the position we were all worried about before the season, you got Cobb, you got Watkins, you got 3 rookie receivers, you got Lazard. You should be okay. Well, obviously it hasn't quite worked out that way. To Shakopee we go. Dave, good morning. How are we feeling today?
Well, we're doing okay. So, you know, you mentioned a little bit earlier about the frustration we have on some of the play calling. But what's getting me is we've seen it week after week after week after week is the inopportune penalties. And they come at the bad times. And it's the same thing, you know, the defender will grab a little bit of the jersey and we get the hold. And, you know, so that stops the drive. Or against the other team, the drive continues and stuff.
Right.
Where does that come in? Is that coaching that's not helping these guys to say you can't be doing that? It just seems it's every week we see this.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're a little handsy for sure if you're talking about the defense. I think the offense is just as guilty, right, with, you know, holding penalties and motion penalties.
Yep.
It just hasn't been a clean season. And, you know, we were talking on In the Zone yesterday about the Wolves problems, and it's, you know, it starts at the top with coaching, and I think it has to be the same with Green Bay. It's been a great 3-year run with 13 win seasons, and that maybe masks a lot. But it's not been a clean year from a discipline standpoint for the team. You know, and yeah, there have been some bad calls, right? I mean, we've seen some calls where we scratch our heads, but every fan base will say the same thing about their team. It's just been we haven't dealt with this, but just one of those years where nothing has gone right. And now the injuries are really starting to mount up, and that just makes things even more difficult. So it looks like a really tough spot today, but in the NFL, that's kind of when surprises happen. So, you know, Rodgers has been very steadfast about, you know, he still believes this team has a chance to make some noise, and he's been right more often than wrong when he's made those pronouncements. But, man, after watching last week, it's hard for me to believe that this season's going to go anywhere but the direction it's heading right now.
It's going down. Well, have fun in Green Bay today on your tailgating. Check out Stadium View. That's the best spot I've seen people tailgating at.
Thanks. I'll do that. Thanks, Dave. Enjoy the game today. He mentioned that. I tweeted it out yesterday. For any of you that happen to be going to the game today or know folks that are going to the game, I am in search of a couple of really cool and fun tailgate parties, not just to go have a sausage and a beer. I mean, that's sort of the fun part. But I've been asked by a company in London, actually, that's got a client that's putting out a book around the Super Bowl about NFL tailgating. And they're finding a reporter in every NFL market to go out, take in some tailgate parties, take some pictures, report back with information about how the tailgate experience was at Lambeau. So I'll be running around Lambeau looking for some fun tailgate parties. If you know of anybody that has a spot that they're always at, that has a great tailgate party every time the Packers play at Lambeau, send me a tweet over at TC Head Cheese and let me know where to find them, because I'll make them famous, hopefully, when that book comes out around the Super Bowl. It's their client, I think, is one of the sports betting companies. And I forget the name of it now because I looked it up. But yeah, so I'm their Packer representative on the hunt for a fun tailgate party today. So if you know of anybody, hit me up at TC Head Cheese. We'll break here. We'll take more of your calls when we're done. We'll look at the Packers offense against the Cowboys defense today. That is the matchup to watch when we come back on Packer Preview.
All the people across the USA. I love my Green Bay Packers. Who won the first Super Bowls ever played? I love my Green Bay
Packers.
Packer Preview brought to you by Hudson Ford.
In the air today, I can feel the
right, that gets me hyped to head to Lambeau. I'm on my way following the show today. Maybe I am the magic potion to get the Packers off the mat. Okay, that's unlikely, but I'm excited to go still to make the run to Lambeau with my daughter, Allie. We will head out from here, and very much looking forward to Mike McCarthy's return to Lambeau Field. I know he is as well. What a big day for him and a big day for his squad to try to win one for him at Lambeau Field and just maybe put the exclamation point on a Packers season that has circled the drain now for the last 4 or 5 weeks. 5 losses in a row. Here come the Cowboys at 6-2, fresh off their bye. You know, they've been very good, but they've also not been unbeatable, obviously. And their last game against the Bears was one of those games where, you know, they won 49-29, which sounds like a wipeout. But if you watch the game, Chicago hung around for a good chunk of that game and was able to move the ball pretty easily against this defense. They are the number 3 scoring defense. They are obviously very talented. From where they were a couple years ago, Dallas, who had a historically bad defense in 2020, they have completely flipped the script on that side of the ball, and it began with the drafting of former Penn State star Micah Parsons, who has become the most dominant defensive player in the league that isn't named Aaron Donald, and he has been lights out. 8 sacks on the season. He has the 5th most pressures of anybody. They move him all over the place. So, you know, David Bakhtiari is questionable. He'll likely play. He'll likely sort of do a tag team with Zach Tom. And when the rookie takes over at left tackle, I think we can assume that Micah Parsons will slide over opposite the 4th-round pick and see if Zach Tom's ready for number 11. Certainly Green Bay will provide some help. I have to think offensively with this pass rush, and it's not just Micah Parsons. DeMarcus Lawrence is a beast as well. They get after the quarterback, and you know, Green Bay, I think, will look to put extra linemen in, extra tight ends in. I don't have a lot of receivers. You're not going to see any 4-receiver alignments today, I don't believe. That would be quite a shock. You're going to see a lot of, I think, 2 and 3 tight end looks, you know, 2 running back looks. And the only bit of good news that came out of last Sunday's game, for my money, was the fact that Aaron Jones was not seriously injured, because he hobbled off, and I think he was in a boot after the game, and it was just insult to injury. Of all players, the most explosive offensive player now might be done for a while. But no, he's off the injury report. He's good to go. And so certainly the path to a Packer victory today begins with a running game. Dallas is not a good run defense. They are ranked 24th, just a couple notches ahead of Green Bay. Both teams feel they can run the football. This has to be a day when the 2 running backs get 25 to 30 carries, unless Green Bay falls behind by multiple scores early and they're in catch-up mode. I almost argue even at that point, you still have to run the football. If you start going into pass mode against this pass rush with kind of a beleaguered offensive line, I still believe if Bakhtiari and Jenkins are fine today, or at least for the most part fine, I think the offensive line should be able to hold up if they provide a little extra attention to Micah Parsons, especially when Zach Tom is out there giving David Bakhtiari some rest. I think we could all assume that Bakhtiari is going to be listed as questionable the rest of the season, as long as he's still able to play. It's just a reality. And again, we're going to talk next Sunday when it's a Packer review show, looking back at the Cowboys and Titans games. We'll look back at, we'll look ahead to, you know, who might not be back. What does next season look like? And Bakhtiari's future certainly very much up in the air. I don't believe that he'll be back on this team next season. That's just my hunch right now. So, big test today against the Cowboys. As I said, the biggest underdogs the Packers have been at home with Aaron Rodgers as quarterback. They are 4.5-point underdogs today. That's, interestingly, at the beginning of the season, the line on this game was Packers as a 5.5-point favorites. So it's gone 10 points the other way in the intervening, 9 or 10 weeks or so. And that's just the reality of how Green Bay season has gone. Let's hear from some of you and see what your thoughts are today on a Packer football Sunday. Let's head to Green Bay and welcome our buddy 1265 Lombardi Guy. Good morning.
Good morning, Dave. Your record here is about my record when I go on home games. So let's see if we can flip the script. I was able to flip it in Cincinnati last year. Let's hope that you can flip it for us and we get the W today.
No doubt.
There's been some historic games at Lambeau Field and historic games against the Cowboys, as we know, the playoff games, and go back into April. If there's a team that you enjoy playing outside of the Vikings and the Bears, I think it's the Cowboys more so than the 49ers. So getting them here with the Mike McCarthy theme that's lingering there, you know, what's going to happen today? Who knows? But I think that there's a possibility that they could take the upset. I think that they can get some breaks along the way for once, back at home, feel a little more comfortable, and who knows? They shock the world and it starts to roll. But it'll be a tough one today, no doubt. And it's nice to have the Cowboys in the later part of the season versus the early part of the season at Lambeau. So enjoy the game. Enjoy the tailgating that you'll be visiting. And go Pack.
Thanks, 1265. Great to hear from you, as always. Yeah, you just hate to hear the words shock the world with a game at Lambeau. I mean, that's just like... It's like storming the court when you beat a team like Western Michigan or something, you know? It's just, God, you're at Lambeau. You're supposed to win every game at Lambeau Field. And obviously the last time Green Bay was at Lambeau was the Jets game. Man, that seems like a long time ago, but it was. It was a three-game road trip since then, and nothing has gone right. And, you know, Green Bay obviously, you know, played some backup quarterbacks. It didn't matter. It just has not gone well for the Pack. And, look, it's five in a row, and if you win today, and if you win Thursday night, and you win a couple games here at Lambeau this week, now you're 5-6, and you actually start to dream a little. You don't dream about the NFC North, obviously. That's done. We're going to give that to the purple. That they're not collapsing at a 7-1 start. But, you know, you go back and say, you know, you can win. You know, you get into the playoffs, anything can happen. So if you can get to 9-8, that might be enough, maybe. I mean, there's probably going to be a bunch of teams fighting in that 9-10 win. But let's be honest. We've watched this team play for 5 weeks. They look nothing like a team that can get to the playoffs, let alone compete in the playoffs. The only thing that gives you hope is you just look at the NFC and you say, all right, who frightens you right now, right? I mean, Philly is 8-0. So, yeah, they frighten you. We'll see them in a few weeks, and they might frighten us on Sunday Night Football down to the, you know, kick us down to the end of our season. But, you know, even the Vikes at 7-1, the Viking fans understand that, you know, they've won six straight one-possession games. That's great. They're getting W's and they're winning, but they're not scaring people. Like, if you had to face them in the playoffs, you're not going to go, oh, no, the Vikings, we have no shot. They're winning close games. Sometimes your luck runs out. Sometimes things even out. So I don't think any NFC team would frighten you beyond Philly right now in the NFC. So that's why you think, man, if they could just pick themselves up and win a couple games here at Lambeau. All right, and then, all right, Philly, that's not going to be good. So maybe you're 5-7, and you go to Chicago before you're bye, and you think, all right, you know what? If you can get to 6-7, now you got a week to get healthy. Now you got three of the last four at home. Maybe you can get to 9-8. It starts with one win, though. Let's just beat somebody to give ourselves some hope. But there's no team outside of our division that's more fun beating than the Dallas Cowboys. That is for sure. Dave from Maple Grove, we'll try you again. You with us?
I am here. Sorry about the last time.
No problem, man. What you got?
Okay. Well, let's go ahead. I'm going to go and jump on 1265. 35-31, we're going to win. Question I'm going to go is, and you've kind of teased us and talking about the running game. Would this be a game where A.J. Dillon gets the bulk of the carries running more between the tackles as opposed to inside-outside such as Aaron Jones, Dave?
I don't know. Maybe if Jones isn't 100%, but no, I think you just have to give the ball. Jones is by far your most explosive player, and you just got to put the ball in his hands. So, no, I don't necessarily think that's true. Dillon has not looked like a world beater. You know, he fights, you know, he breaks some tackles, but he's not a guy that's going to put fear into the heart of a defense, I don't think. 35 points, really? If you tell me right now we're going to get 35 points this week, including the Titans game, put those two games together, I'll say, yeah, we might get 35 points over these next 2 weeks. That's possible. We're not putting 35 up on Dallas. That's not happening. The way Green Bay stays in this game today is the Packers' defense rises up and holds Dallas's offense down, turns them over a couple times. This game, for me, is in the low 20s for each team. At best, I've got a 23-20. If you read my preview at zonecoverage.com on the head cheese page, and that's Dallas winning, by the way, 23-20. I think it's a close one. If Green Bay can keep it close at this point, I won't be satisfied, but at least I'll be content that it didn't get as ugly as it could have. Which, speaking of ugly, we welcome our favorite Viking fan, Kane, who checks in from Apple Valley. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Speaking of keeping the dream alive. My son's Rosemont Irish are still alive in the 6A playoffs.
All right.
Wayzata and Centennial since we last spoke. So rematch with Eden Prairie at U.S. Bank Stadium, who we beat earlier this year. You got a quick mini analysis or a prediction on that one?
I like your chances. I don't think it's Eden Prairie's year. So go Irish. Go Rosemont. Good luck to your son, man.
Thanks. All right. I've just got a few things here I'll throw at you rapid fire. I don't know what that pass attempt to back Piari was last week. It didn't look like he got hit or the ball got tipped or anything. It honestly reminded me of the time Teddy Bridgewater attempted a left-handed pass against you guys, which I thought I had blocked out of my mind. Regarding Mike McCarthy, I know you said you'd cheer for him today, but after the way you ripped that guy the last half of his career on this platform, it'd be more appropriate if you booed him, I think. Besides, you don't want to massage his ego, if you know what I'm saying. As far as my team today, I'm glad Josh Allen is back starting, because if we went in there and beat Keenum, it just pushed the narrative further that we can't beat a team that can actually punch back. I don't think we'll beat the Bills, but I could see us covering late, kind of like the Packers did. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Kate. I if I were a Viking fan, I'd want to face Josh Allen too, because I'd want to see it 7-1. What's my team got against the best team? I want to see where we're at. A loss isn't going to hurt the Vikings, especially to an AFC team. So, yeah, if I were a Viking fan, I'd want to see Josh Allen. I want to play against that team fully complete to see where we stack up against the Bills. I might have ripped McCarthy that last season, but I certainly didn't rip him the last half of his career. I like Mike McCarthy's run. I thought he was a very good coach. This team was very competitive during his 13 years, and you can credit him, I think, more than anybody for making Aaron Rodgers the quarterback he is. That's what McCarthy is. He's a quarterback builder. That's what he's known for. All right, Brett, we'll bring you back. I told you I've got a 23-20 Dallas. I think somehow the Packers compete for 60 minutes. I don't think they can pull one out. What are you thinking?
Yeah, and real quick, we don't have too much longer, but I don't revel in being negative. I actually like being a homer. It's a much more fun headspace to live in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't revel in it at all. I just don't see any signs of life yet, and until they give me something. Really, to me, the goal today is just don't beat yourself. If we can get through this game and just say, you know what, the Cowboys are better than us today, I think that's kind of a moral victory, and I think that's where we're at this point. If they're a little bit better in the red zone, I think they can put up a little bit more points than I'm predicting. My gut said 28-13, and that's what I wrote down. I'm not too confident in it. Maybe it's a little too harsh, but that's where I'm leaning right now. I hate being this negative.
Let's see the negativity can stop, and Green Bay can compete for 60 minutes and then follow up Thursday night with a win against Derrick Henry and the Titans. We're back here next Sunday for a Packer review and maybe a review of the 23 season that was, or 22 season that was. Enjoy the game. I'm off to Lambeau, and as always, everybody, go.